Over the last few years, there's been an intense media focus on the situation in Syria, which continues to be a violent and intractable civil war. That interest has only intensified now that the conflict has spilled across the country's borders into Iraq. But since 2010, the Abu Nadara Collective, a group of filmmakers, has worked to provide an image of Syria that's different from the one you've been seeing on television. Working despite Syria's state of emergency, the collective has managed to produce one short film every week. A collection of shorts will be screened tonight at 7 p.m. at the IFC Center as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, and I'm pleased that it brings Andrea Holly, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, and Sharif Kirwan, producer and spokesperson for the Abu Nadara Collective, to our program today. Hello. Andrea, how did you learn about the collective?
Well, it's an interesting story, how I came to meet Sharif and the collective, because it came through the former director of the festival, Bruni Burrez. One day over lunch, we were just talking, and she simply asked me if I had heard of the collective, and remarkably, I hadn't. And she sent me a few links, and then the very next day, I received an email from Sharif, and voila, the discourse was born.
Sharif, hasn't the Assad regime tried to clamp down on independent depictions of what's happening in the country? Could you answer?
Sure. One of the reasons we actually were so intrigued by the collective and why we reached out to Sharif and ended up putting together this program is because the Assad regime was dominating the images that were in the media, and then we had the other side of the coin, which was the mainstream media's own images, none of which were really showing the day-to-day reality. So when the Abu Nadara Collective came to our attention, one of the main reasons that we were so interested is because they were showing individuals, not heroes or victims, on the ground.
Yes, actually, we wanted... The media space is right now occupied by two actors, Assad and the jihadist, and we just wanted to show our society, ordinary men and women who are fighting for freedom.
The international media often frame what's happening in Syria through a religious, ethnic, or geopolitical lens. You object to that?
Yes, certainly. Because people are fighting for freedom. We cannot... understand this fight with old narrative and with...
In one of the films called Media Kill, a man discusses requests from television producers for images of people being shot and killed. But, Andrea, he doesn't feel that sending these images and videos of massacres to the media has been effective.
Right. Media Kill is a particularly powerful film in the series we're doing tonight. But just to say, I think the key line in that film that speaks to what you're saying is when he expresses, what I want is to prevent the massacres. I don't want to send the images. I want to prevent the massacres. And that's not what's happening.
Sharif, is that a concern of yours, that things you document in Syria might be co-opted and used for other purposes?
Actually, we can prevent the massacre. If we present people accurately and with dignity, we can protect them. We can show that they are human beings, and we cannot accept that human beings are killed every day by the regime.
How has the Syrian government responded to what you do? And the insurgents?
For the government, for my government, and my colleagues are terrorists. Because we use camera to tell the story, they arrested our colleague Osama since 2 years now. So we are dangerous and wanted criminals.
On the other hand, I suspect the insurgents aren't always happy with what you're showing either.
Yes, I hope so.
Andrea, the collective's work has been described as emergency cinema. What does that mean?
The concept of emergency cinema is something actually Sharif introduced us to. And for us at Human Rights Watch, we sort of see it in two ways. One, it speaks to the concrete constraints of how one can actually make films under the conditions that exist in Syria right now. But in the same turn, it also is about expressing this humanity and this dignity. The content of the films is still at a level that we consider a at the same aesthetics as any other film in the program. So it's both about the constraints and the content.
Should we see all of these short films as short films or as one larger film with a lot of different scenes? The Collective recently won the Short Film Grand Jury Prize at the 2014 Sundance Film Festival, so they're judging them as shorts.
Right. It's a good question, actually. For us, I personally feel that each of the films has such a discrete style and statement to it. I personally see them as a series of films.
Sharif, are most of your filmmakers professional journalists, or are they largely self-trained?
No, self-trained. We tried to make films before the uprising, but we didn't succeed.
How do you work in a country that is, by some accounts, falling apart, disintegrating?
We have no choice. We have to show our people, to defend them. And our emergency cinema is just like a medicine emergency. We have few tools. We have to intervene very quickly with our tools.
One of the short films is really short, Zaina. It's 55 seconds long, and it captures a girl who's been injured by mortar fire and then says, "Zaina is fine. How about you?" Andrea, this is very different stuff from the grainy videos of fighting and funerals that you tend to see on YouTube. What impresses you about these films?
It's interesting you bring up Zaina, because even as you mention the film, it's sort of like being punched in the stomach. It makes me like, there's a whole story behind those 55 seconds. And for those who come to the program, you'll learn more about Zaina and who shot the film and everything that happened. But I would just tell people they are vastly different from what you might have seen online or elsewhere in the mainstream media. And it punches you in the heart.
Sharif, one of the Collective statements says that the group's films are a humanist cinema that seeks to share a desire for freedom and justice rather than to prove the guilt of one party or another. How do you accomplish that?
We don't use image as a proof. We don't want to address the viewer as a judge and tell him, look what the regime is doing. We want just him to show our story with our narrative.
And sometimes you use dark humor. One short called Pans of Revolution opens with people banging on casserole dishes.
Yes, actually this film was made by Osama, our colleague, in prison now.
Andrea, how has the internet changed the kind of work that someone like Sharif will do? Would it even be possible without the internet?
It's a good point. The work in our eyes would not be possible without the internet, because obviously that's the distribution platform. But at the same time, I would just point out what we were referencing earlier. The internet is also sometimes your biggest challenge because of the other images out there.
Where are you doing most of your work, Sharif?
In Syria.
All over the country, or
also in exile, but we don't give any indication about the location, because we want people everywhere to identify with people we are filming.
A collection of short films from the Abu Nadar Collective will be screened tonight at 7 p.m. at the IFC Center. That's on Avenue of the Americas in Greenwich Village. And Sharif Kirwan and other filmmakers will be in conversation after the screening. An additional note on the Human Rights Watch Film Festival documentary we were discussing earlier, The Supreme Price will be screened tonight at 9:15 at the Walter Reed Theater at the Film Society of Lincoln Center. More information about all of the screenings is on our show page at wnyc.org. And my great thanks to Andrea Holly, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, and Sharif Kirwan, producer and spokesperson for the Abu Nadar Collective, for being on our show today. It's been a pleasure talking to you on this very stressful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.